Welcome back to Bridge CRE episode 25. I'm your host, Brandon Jenkins, and I have exciting news. I have a new co-host by the name of Elizabeth Sanford, right?
You got it this time. Thank you.
Yes, with Mattson Roofing. If you have not heard of this young lady, then you must live under a rock in the commercial real estate industry in Sacramento. She's doing big things on every board imaginable. And go ahead and introduce yourself. What's up?
Well, thanks, Brandon. I feel like we're coming full circle here because I was on your podcast. I just re-listened to it this morning. It was May of 2019, so almost 3 years ago.
I know. It's crazy.
So full circle, here I am co-hosting with you today, which is awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Like no, absolutely.
Brandon said, I'm with Mattson Roofing and Waterproofing. And I'm happy to be here. I'm excited.
I know. I'm excited to have you. I appreciate it. It's a great start for me, for Bridge CRE, for our listeners, for 2022. And we're excited what we're going to do this year. There's been events happening in Sacramento. Things are starting to get back to some type of, I don't like using the word normalcy, but man, if there's never been a time to say the word normal, I think we all kind of need that. And, you know, with Sacramento, all the different organizations, BOMA, IFMA, CREW, things are popping off. So we're going to go ahead and jump right into it. BOMA, what's happening with BOMA?
Yeah, so some upcoming events. There's the property, or sorry, yesterday was the property manager's breakfast.
Yeah.
We didn't get to go to that, but I heard it was
no,
a great turnout.
I'm not a property manager.
Yeah.
Turnout.
Awesome.
Yeah.
The upcoming first quarterly luncheon. So
yes,
great things.
That's what's up.
At the Hilton.
That's in person.
Correct. On
yes.
March 31st. So that'll be exciting. They have some awesome speakers.
Make sure you sign up if you haven't already. Should be a great event. It's the first quarterly luncheon. Historically, I know we said this before on a podcast, but historically, first quarterly luncheons, those are the biggest ones to attend. I mean, there's, you know, 100, 120 people that attend those luncheons, and I know they've narrowed them down. There's not so many luncheons throughout the year, but the first one is usually gangbusters.
Yep.
A lot of people busy getting back into the things or getting back into the swing of things in the new year. So check it out.
Yeah, exciting stuff. IFMA had their first in-person event. I actually did get to attend.
How was that?
It was good. I was at Piotti in downtown that they put on a new space.
Yeah.
So we got to go in there. It was a great turnout. It was actually Amber Stewart, who's the incoming president.
Yeah,
birthday.
Didn't you guys do like a birthday thing?
Yeah, it was kind of a little bit of both, but it was a
That's
great
cool.
turnout. Good to see people. Felt like normal again.
Yeah. It's good seeing everybody.
Yeah. And they have a webinar coming up, and then their brew tour, which is always fun.
Yeah.
Is April 7th. So
yeah.
Coming
and
up
that's,
in a month.
And I don't think that's been determined yet on where it's going to happen, but brew tours historically has always been a good time. You know, our guest is a pro at those brew tours for IFMA. Just to throw that
secret.
Out there. Our secret guest. Yeah. And so, and then the last, you know, one of the other organizations that just taken off, especially in Northern California, is CREW.
Yeah, super exciting. I sit on that board as well as the BOMA board, but
yeah.
CREW has the membership breakfast.
We all know
coming.
This. We all know.
Busy. But CREW has the upcoming membership breakfast over at Depot Park, so I'm excited for that. That's March 16th.
Okay.
They just had their Women of Influence panel luncheon
Fantastic.
Last week, which was awesome.
Yes.
And those were last year's awardees speaking to COVID, the times.
Yes.
And then we
so
have...
So question on that real quick.
Yes, sir.
With that, do they speak about their own personal experiences, right? Just not what's happening currently. They
Correct.
Spoke about their own experiences within the industry, how they got it, like.
Yeah, for sure. And there's, you know, time for question and advice and how they got there, where they've been. Women of Influence Awards is one of my favorite events in the industry, and it's coming up again mid-April, I believe.
Yeah.
Super exciting stuff. It's good to see that. You know, if you look at all the association's calendars, it's booked up again for in-person stuff, which is extremely exciting.
Yeah.
And we're all going to have a busy year.
Yeah. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm definitely looking forward to it. In regards to, another question I had for that CREW thing, since you're on the board, since you're all about CREW and you have all the answers.
I don't know about that. Try me.
How many men were there
at
that Women of Influence board? because I've gone a few times, but I was like the only man in the room.
Yeah, there's.
So I was wondering how many people showed up this
time. At the Women of Influence luncheon or awards?
Both.
There's a significant amount of men because I think family members come to support their
spouses.
And also this year for Women of Influence, they've added a Catalyst Award. So that's a male category to win an award. So that's exciting.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
More men members than you would think. It's
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. I am one. I've attended golf tournaments. I have attended those award ceremonies before. For all the men out there, you guys need to get out, represent. It's a great, great thing to be a part of in Sacramento, specifically for commercial real estate. And so we're going to go ahead and jump right into it and introduce our guest. This guy I've had the pleasure of working with in the past on boards, different organizations in Sacramento, and then also as a client. He goes by the name of Jason Shrimp. He's the Director of Facilities and Operations at Westfield Galleria. Welcome, sir.
Thank you. Yeah. Thanks for having me, finally.
Dude, we've been trying to plan this thing since, like, December.
I think I was supposed to be number one.
Yeah. In 2019.
Dude, we've literally been trying to plan this thing forever, and it's finally come to fruition. And I appreciate it. I know things have been crazy busy for you, so we're just happy to have you here.
I promise I wasn't just asleep in the last 2 years. a lot going on.
Right?
I could imagine that phone call. It's like, he's looked down, sees my number and my name. He's like, oh, God.
I know what he's going for.
Yeah, exactly. All right, cool, man.
Do you want to jump right into the questions?
Yeah, let's do that, please.
Awesome. These are going to be painless, I promise. So what's your past experience in the commercial real estate industry? Specifically, what past organizations have you been involved with and in what regions?
Yeah, so funny thing, I got my start with a large janitorial company as an operations manager here in Sacramento. And it was through my customer service with one of my clients that he was moving to Texas, transferring to Texas with the company. And he was like, hey, how would you like to be a facility manager? And I was like, oh, I do janitorial.
Yeah.
Are you sure I'm going to be okay? And he's like, yeah, we'll train you. We'll teach you. We'll give you that opportunity. I was like, sure. Huh. Where do I apply?
Wow. About working for direct. Going direct.
And best decision.
Right.
I've really enjoyed that guidance from the beginning. And so my first opportunity was with a health insurance company called Coventry Healthcare. Mm-hmm. So I had, I don't know, 5 or 6 buildings throughout California.
I remember those days.
Yeah, right. West
Sac, yeah.
But
you were running the show out there. It's awesome.
Yeah, running all across California.
Yeah.
Spent time in San Diego and Orange County. And
Not a bad place to be.
Yeah, definitely. But really learning the facility world, that gave me that opportunity. Being office buildings, it gave me that chance to learn. I got my FMP during that time.
Right.
So just really took it all in to grow. They got bought out by Aetna Healthcare, and they were making some changes, and we were going outsource. And so I was like, it's just not really for me.
A lot of changes, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Coventry was relatively small, and then you go to Aetna that's,
huge.
Yeah.
They're huge. So opportunity came forward to work with CBRE direct with a client, which everyone knows, Nissan North America.
Yeah.
Automaker. And it changed my understanding of facilities because it wasn't just office buildings now. It was some manufacturing, some research and development centers, some office. It was a design center down in San Diego. So it was a really...
That's a lot.
Yeah, it was a whole different mixture of buildings. It wasn't the same.
Great learning experience, though, I'd imagine.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was great. Loved it there.
So how was that crossover between, I mean, it was medical office, right, with Aetna over to, like, manufacturing?
No, not, so they did health insurance, so it was all office buildings. So it was a lot of call centers.
Yeah.
It's your typical, 100,000 square foot, 50,000 square foot building with just... A Buttons. Sea of cubicles.
Yeah.
Offices around the perimeter.
Yeah.
Cubicles down the middle.
Yeah, yeah.
And you see the same people every day.
Yeah.
You deal with the same problems, the same issues.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty straightforward. And then you know, you had vehicles coming in and out and testing them, and you got the hydro bays or whatever they're called for the cars. So,
yeah.
And then some warehouse space, and now you're dealing with trucks and docks and warehouse workers that
different,
you know, they're
different liabilities
and yeah, absolutely. So it was a good experience for my growth to switch and learn some other, you know, facilities. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was tons of fun. Great group at CBRE within our Nissan account. And,
CBRE is huge.
They are. And there's so many different divisions.
Yeah.
When you look at it, like I was in a world of my own where I didn't interact with any of the CBRE, people locally, which I wish I had done more of. It would have been better for my experience, but you're in a bubble.
Yeah.
Because you're dedicated to the client. The client's paying for you.
Yeah. You're on an island.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, that like everything, you know, I was traveling a lot. I was going down south, my, you know, family stuff, with my kids getting older. I was like, I just need to be home. You know, every other weekend I was in the Bay Area, or every other week I was in the Bay Area for 3-4 days at a time. And I just,
That's a lot.
The travel of a facilities man. And people don't think about that a lot. It's for me, when you think of a property manager, they're like, okay, they're at one location, mm-hmm. or they might have a few different locations, but the travel aspect of it, it takes away, you know, it's kind of daunting on family life and, you know, social life and all that other stuff. So that makes sense.
Yeah, it is. And you look at facility managers, and like you said, it's like one building, but Sacramento, you don't have that many. There's only a certain amount of buildings that you can justify having a full-time manager.
Our skyline's one street, you know what I mean? Compared to like San Francisco, where it's like everywhere you look around, there's, you know, you just...
So while I'm doing a million square feet of office space or warehouse manufacturing, it's across, you know, the whole state.
Yeah.
So, you know, square footage wise, it's the same. It's just
spread out.
Right? Yeah. So it's actually a good experience if you haven't worked remote, being able to manage a facility remotely.
Yeah.
Not having to be hands on to deal with like an emergency or
issue. You can't be face to face with it. Right.
Exactly. You gotta really build those relationships in the industries and rely on people.
Yeah.
Because you don't always have an engineer in the building. You don't always have a person to call. So,
that's right.
You know, managing remotely actually kind of helped during the pandemic.
I was going to say you were trained for that.
Yeah, during the pandemic were doing our A and B shifts and I was at home, I was like, you know, I've done this before. This is common ground.
Right.
Oh, it's a good thing you're at the Westfield. I mean, smart move on Westfield for grabbing you. I mean, it couldn't have been more timely, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so... I've been with Westfield for 3 years.
Yeah.
It was funny you mentioned the brewery tour.
The brewery.
It was 3 years ago, I think in October, that I got the call from Westfield at the downtown at the brewery tour. Yeah. About, hey, do you want to come in for an interview?
You're like, hold that thought.
He's all singing songs in the background at the bar.
Everybody be quiet. Well, This is the call. Be quiet. I didn't know. It was weird because the number came from like a French number, Australia. I forgot. It wasn't a U.S. number. And I was like, is this a spam call? And so I walked out and I just answered it.
Calling for my car warranty?
Yeah, so I had no idea. So when I got it, I was like, oh, this is Westfield. So, you know, quickly scheduled that interview.
Mr. Shrimp? Hello, how are you, Mr. Shrimp? Yes, this is the director of Westfield West Coast. And just, is that singing in the background I hear? Are you drinking right now? Okay.
I'm at a work event, sir. This is a work event.
Yeah, this is a work event. We've made a decision. No, I'm joking. He's a great guy. So if any directors from Westfield are listening, he's a fantastic choice. You guys made a great, great choice.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I got lucky. I got lucky. I you know, went through... the process and got offered the job and started 3 days before Christmas or four days before Christmas.
Welcome to retail.
I know, exactly. Right? Could you imagine? Right.
I mean, if you can make it through that, you can make it through anything. That was your test. They're like, he's got this.
I would think so.
Yeah.
That's what I heard that a lot the first week.
Yeah.
it felt like the sky was falling.
It's like roofing in rainstorms. Yeah. You can make it through that. You can make it through anything.
Right. No, I get it.
If you don't know retail, summer season. Yeah. If you don't know retail, go out and visit a mall and see how many people are there. And
my family's like, my mom was in retail. My stepdad was in retail. And yeah, it was, you know, it's brutal.
I think everybody should do retail or restaurants once in your life to just understand the demand that it's customer service. There's literally no other type of customer service.
Yeah, absolutely agree. Like, especially in the facility and building management world, the amount of just sheer traffic and the damages that it brings to the building out. And that's not even vandalism. That's just from
the wear and tear
of every day. Your PM schedules, your service, it's completely different than an office building.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That you have, you know, 700 people in or 1,000 people. Yeah. You know, you have hundreds of thousands of people every year coming through, banging on it, and they're not treating it like their home or their second home.
Right. Yep. No, I get it, man. I get it. That's it's different world, you know? It's a different world, and a lot of people don't recognize that, especially when they're on the other side.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So it's awesome.
So segmenting from that, you touched on it a little bit with IFMA, but have there been organizations that have contributed to your success? You noted your FMP, but.
Yeah. So I've been involved with BOMA, IFMA, AFE for close to 18 years, even when I was on the operations side of the janitorial company. I think the organizations are very important for your growth and your learning, and just networking. How many times have I called up someone in the industry and just been like, hey, who do you use for this? Or what did you do for this?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I got my FMP through IFMA. And that's, nice to have. The books, the studying, the tests, it was really beneficial.
So is that FMP, is that just is that recognized state?
It's
country or international?
Internationally.
Oh, it's international. Okay.
It's under, I'll drawing a blank on the other certification through IFMA, but that one you have to re-register every year.
Okay.
The FMP, you go through the series, you take the tests, you have your FMP.
Nice.
And it opens your eyes to central plants and package units and tower. I mean, it's a whole wide range.
Of mechanical systems and everything else
and
that's out there.
And I mean, there's four different
criterias or sections
that you learn about, and just the whole theory behind it. The facility. So it was
nice.
It's good. I encourage between the organizations to do the certifications and build on your career.
Yeah.
On your path.
Do you look at that when you hire for assistance or anything like that, or support that within your organization?
It stands out when you have an application or resume that comes across and they have a certification beyond just a degree or those facility property management specific ones.
Mm-hmm.
Means they put the time into it. They know what they're doing. They like their job. They like their profession, and they dive into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, constantly learning education.
Yeah, it's important.
All right.
Important stuff.
With a decrease in retail space in many retail organizations such as JCPenney's, Toys R Us, filing for bankruptcy, and many closing specific locations such as American Eagle, Gap, Banana Republic, how has the Galleria been so successful?
The Galleria overall is unique, I think, being that we're...
It is.
...in suburban... world versus a city. I mean, you go to the San Francisco Center, you go to Valley Fair, Century City, UTC, you look at them, they're all in a city. They're all in a big city. Roseville is pretty small in comparison. So we're unique, and it's taken some time to catch on, but we're growing. We're bringing luxury to the Galleria. If you guys haven't been there, YSL opened late last year.
That's exciting.
Yeah. Gucci is opening in April.
I'm there.
Get that purse.
Get that Gucci belt.
You gotta get your purse.
Yeah.
Your wallet, your belt.
Yep.
And then, you know, Warby Parker, who was primarily an online eyeglass company, is opening brick and mortars.
Oh, wow.
And they're coming to the Galleria, and you know, there's tons down the pipeline. It's
wow.
It's a good thing to have at the Galleria. During COVID, we really thrived, and
right.
We were strong. It was good. We had, you know, we improvised with all the restrictions, and you know, from closing to opening to what we had to do, and we just mm-hmm. really got creative and thought outside of the box.
Very
that's
smart.
Been my most. I mean, you got to find a silver lining, right? So COVID, I feel like it's been terrible, but at the same time, it's really made people think outside of the box and how can we do things differently and how can we change. And I think you've seen some people really become successful by, I mean, we sold alcohol to go. Like when has that ever been yeah. a thing? Or
yeah.
just watching brick and mortar figure out how to get people in without getting in, and hairstylists, you know, making boxes for people to come pick it up. Like
right.
people got very creative and innovative. And I think that that's something that our brains weren't trained to think that way before.
Right.
And it's exciting to see that.
It's yeah. created new markets too.
For sure.
Yeah.
Like new markets, everything.
Yeah. Especially speaking of that, getting creative is the rule was if you had an outside door, you could sell. So what do? We have giant elephant doors at our promenade entrance. We opened them and we had a little mart on the inside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that
smart,
you know, some of the retailers could still sell, the ones that wanted to. So,
right.
you know, really made you think outside the box. How can we sell? How can we get these people?
And some of those things are sticking.
It.
You know what I mean? It's fun. It created
yeah.
an environment where that outdoor market, I don't know if you guys do that anymore, but it brings somebody different than maybe who wanted to be outside rather than go inside and
yeah.
shop or whatever. So, I mean, I think a lot of the things that we've come up with are going to stick.
I think one thing it did show that the organizations that put forth the effort into adjusting to the customer's needs and concerns about COVID and everything else like that, those organizations are the ones that thrived and that are still open. Mm-hmm. You know, I definitely feel bad for the ones that didn't survive, but, and obviously that comes with more, you know, who has more costs and, you know, finances in order to float things and so on and so forth. But at the end of the day, you know, the creativity was there and it kept the economy going.
Yeah,
so we had to keep the economy going somehow, right? And so absolutely. People found out a way. It's crazy.
Absolutely. And people, when they go out to shop now, they want experiences. They want to enjoy that time
right.
out. It's not just, let's go out and shop. So you see this transformation. Like we just had Cinemark open at
right.
our mall, and we have Round One being built out
right.
down on the first floor. And this is in the old Sears box. So Sears closed their doors, but it wasn't necessarily detrimental to
right.
the mall. It's like, how can we create that experience to be better?
Right.
So now you can come shop.
The mindset's spot on. The mindset for me is spot on for an organization, because how many people, and I'm going to include myself in this and my wife, and like how many people are very comfortable from shopping from their couch? Like everybody. We order food, we order groceries, we order, you know, restaurant food, everything from the couch. And so it's going to take a lot in order to get people up out of their couches and up out of their homes to go somewhere to shop. And so you have to create that experience, right? You have to create, okay, we're going to go, you know, we're going to create this great experience so people do want to come in and do, and Westfield's doing that, it
yeah,
seems like.
Absolutely. We brought concierge to the center full time.
Yeah.
You know, so we're really trying to capture that customer, and Roseville is strong. They want to
yeah.
go, they want to try it on, they want to touch it, they want to
yeah.
you know, they want to be in that experience
right.
versus shopping, because I'm guilty. I shop online.
Yeah.
Know? But the one thing
everybody does, look how well Amazon's doing.
Right.
But the one thing I do hate is when I get something and it doesn't fit.
You have to take it back.
Yeah.
I have to ship it back, and then I got to wait for the right
yeah.
size to come.
Yeah. yeah.
You know, so it's
yep.
it's nice to be able
or they send the milk that's about to expire, you know, within like 2 days, you're like, damn it.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's, you know, people have to get back in the swing
yeah.
of things, but we haven't seen any issues being out in Roseville. We've,
yeah.
you know, we've been really strong.
Yeah.
That's good.
Roseville's fantastic. I mean, yeah, good
and you
stuff.
You touched on this a little bit already with the specific tasks, such as the concierge and bringing new brands in, but
mm-hmm.
does Westfield monitor their successes?
We do monitor our successes. That's how we're able to see like how the pandemic affected traffic and sales within the center, within our retailers. So, we monitor traffic, we monitor sales, we can see what's performing, what's not performing, and try and help them. You know, if marketing, it's a really good tool for marketing to be able to focus on if a retailer needs help. So we do a lot of tracking. It's a lot of data analytical, but you have to be able to succeed. Sure. You have to know
right
what those targets. Yeah, what's happening? What those targets are.
Well, it's just interesting to see how you guys would do it. As far as target markets, and I'm guessing you guys. I mean, do you guys take like demographic? Is it demographic of area, location? So the type of clientele that you guys are trying to bring in, like.
No, so we're the biggest mall between, I think, into Walnut Creek up to Reno and the Oregon border. So
okay, so you guys have the.
That's a fun fact. I didn't know that until that you just said that. It makes sense, but
they're massive.
Yeah,
it is huge.
It is. I mean, I lived right there. I go there. I know.
It's insane.
Yeah, so we have this a lot of advantages just being the biggest one around.
Right.
You know, and like I said earlier, if you want luxury. You have to
That's
come
That's the
here.
Only place you're
you
going.
Know, if you want to buy a Rolex, either down in Walnut Creek or here.
Right.
And in the Roseville Galleria. And same thing with a lot of the other brands.
Right.
Nordstrom.
Tiffany's. Yes. I was there for Valentine's Day.
Tiffany's.
At Tiffany's.
Nice, Brandon. Nice. Yeah, I have family that live in Chico. They used to come. I mean, when they were in high school, they used to have weekend Roseville Galleria shopping days.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I ran into customers that have actually come from Oregon, like right on the border. Like, yeah, we come here a couple times a year and do all of our shopping.
Wow.
That's cool. You
drive all the way from Oregon. It's like, it's either there or up, Portland or wherever it is. It's like, it's a shorter drive.
Wow.
So it really, we have a huge market pull.
Yeah.
You know, all of Sacramento for the most
fantastic.
Part.
Fantastic.
And then if you look at Roseville and it's a big, big area.
And it's growing.
And it's growing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That helps Roseville being the number one, sure. I think it is the number one spot in California for new homes and people moving to or something like that.
I would imagine. I mean, it all started with, I think LDK, right? Larry Kelly Ventures. They're the ones who built out Stanford Ranch.
And now you see a lot of Bay Area coming up to Roseville.
It's Tahoe.
There's no home inventories. It's crazy.
I know. It's going. It's great. It's a good spot to be in.
At the beginning of 2022, and now that things are settling down a little bit, how has Roseville Galleria responded to COVID-19? And what organizations are you currently following for data and information?
So, we follow all throughout COVID and afterwards. We follow all the state mandates, all the local ordinances and rules, and we try to build within those to provide that experience for the customer to shop. And at the center, at the same time, we're on the facility side, we're always changing, whether it's pulling tables and chairs off in the dining court, doing the to-go to putting them back out with limited spacing, 6 feet apart. So, we just really try to adjust and go with what we were given from the state and from the county.
Right.
It keeps you on your toes every other week.
Yeah.
It does.
Awesome. What are your future goals in the commercial real estate industry, and what major impacts do you see taking place in 2022? It's kind of a two-part question.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I like to always learn. I like to be challenged. So I keep challenging myself within the center, what we have, and, with our capital, with our preventive maintenance, with the center as a whole, and just really trying to get creative and better that customer experience for everybody that's out there shopping. During the whole pandemic, we made changes internally. So I picked up tenant construction, which is like the new store build outs oversight. And now they've pulled that back off of the plate. So it was phenomenal learning that piece of it. But it's going to be nice to go back and focus on
expansion part,
my facilities and my capital and my, overall, just overseeing the center, it gives me more time to do that, and, you know, not pulling, because we've got so much building out to do. It just takes a lot of time. So being able to focus back on the facility is excellent.
So you're going to be able to take your time away from the build out back to the facility itself.
Correct. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So it was two different positions, and they combined it, mm-hmm. and now they're separating it again. So, you know, do what we have to do to get through the pandemic and, you know, come out the other end.
Right. Yeah. No, I get it.
2 years went fast.
Yeah.
They did.
It was crazy times.
It was. Yeah. I mean,
it was crazy.
Like I said, you know, I'm a believer of a silver lining, and there was, you know, being in sales, I mean, you are too. It's hard. I mean, we all had to think outside the box and do different things and figure out how we could, you know, still remain relevant with our customers and network and what does that look like now when you can't see people?
And
it's been a ride.
It has. And on the flip side, being in retail was job security as well, because we were still open where some of the office buildings, you know, are empty. Yeah. They're still empty.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was always job security to come to work and because we're open.
Yeah. Good time. Yeah. Good time to have a job. I'll tell you that.
Yes.
Oof. Oof.
I wish more people thought that way.
That's a whole nother topic for a whole nother podcast. No, okay.
That could be five podcasts. Yeah.
Exactly. All right, cool. So is that it with the questions? Is that all we have for him?
He's a star student. He was just straight to the point, knew exactly what he wanted to say.
Hey.
Nailed it.
That's good. He had like 4 months to prepare.
He let me off easy.
Hey man, I try not to make it too hard, you know. People, I mean, it's nervous, and people are like, I don't want to go on the podcast. I don't want to be like, I don't want to talk. You know, how many people listen? You know, what's it streamed on? Blah blah 1 blah.
1 billion.
Yeah, exactly. It's me and Joe Rogan. Those are the only two podcasts around. Okay, these are the two top contenders. Me and Joe.
So you're saying this one's gonna make me famous?
Maybe, man. Maybe. You know, we had important topics to talk about. Westfield. I mean. You talked about the Democrat, you know, from here to Oregon, you know, and hopefully, and maybe SoCal, you know, we talked a little bit about that too. So you never know. You never know, you know, but dude, I really appreciate you taking time out. I know things have been crazy. So I mean, I'm very appreciative of it. It's awesome to have you on. Liz, thank you for stepping in. You're awesome.
Thank you, sir.
And I think we have job openings, right, to talk about. There's a ton of them in the industry. And these are just things we pulled up off of LinkedIn. Jason, I don't know if you have anything to add, but go ahead and let them know.
All right. It looks like Lawson Mechanical is looking for special projects coordinator and a sales manager. FS Medical Technology needs an account manager. USA Properties Fund needs a construction project manager. Cushman and Wakefield needs a property management internship. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Link Logistics, property management administrator. Ethan Conrad needs a director of construction. California Department of Industrial Relations needs a facilities manager. JLL has a facilities manager opening, and Pro Equity Assets Management has a commercial property manager opening.
Yeah, and so those are all Sacramento based. So if anybody has any type of job openings that they would like us to mention on this podcast, please go ahead and reach out to myself or Liz, and we'll definitely make sure to get them on. Other than that, man, that's all I got.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yes, sir. No, we appreciate it. Yeah, Liz?
We appreciate you being here. Good to see you.
Likewise.
Awesome. Until next time, have a good day.